Amen.
Good morning and happy Sabbath to everybody. It's nice to see everybody. I see that we have some members out. It's vacation time. And I'm glad to see you survived the heat. But I'm glad to see it's always great to be in God's house, isn't it? And to worship with God and sing praises to His name. Thank you so much for the song, Serbo. It was beautiful. If you don't mind, I'm just going to have a quick prayer before I begin. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for giving us to become part of your family. And I would ask that there be any sins in my life or any sins here that would keep your presence from being here. I ask that you would forgive those sins and help us to cooperate you fully so you can totally have your image reflected in us. I ask that you be with me now as I present the message in which you have given me. Please give me clear thoughts and clear speech in this message, in this important matter. And I ask this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, who makes all these things possible. Amen. Today's sermon is the hoax. The hoax. What is a hoax? What's that, sir? What is a hoax? A hoax is a trick. It is it's something that if I was to try to hoax you into something, I'm going to try to do something in such a way that you're going to believe that what I'm doing is absolutely 100% the truth, but actually it's a lie. And that's what a hoax is. And we have examples of hoaxes in the Bible. We're all familiar with Eve in the Garden of Eden. And you can just imagine Eve, you know, who's lived in this world where everything's perfect and beautiful. And she comes to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And all of a sudden there's this beautiful snake and it's speaking. Never saw an animal speak before. And of course, this is a hoax. It's a trick by Lucifer. It's actually Lucifer in disguise. And he's using a serpent as a medium. And because of this trick, and Eve had the belief that because the serpent partook of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, it was able to speak. And the hoax was really such a deceptive hoax that Eve believed it. And because of that, then she partook of the tree. And that one hoax, just think about that, this one hoax caused this entire world to be in the mess that it is because of one malicious hoax. But she wasn't the only one that was hoaxed. We're all familiar with King Saul. And King Saul was the king. And he was normally in communion with God, but God wasn't speaking to him at that time. And he wanted to know whether or not he should go in this battle. And because God wasn't speaking to him, he decided he heard about this witch in Endor, which can conjure up the spirits of the dead. And so he goes to the witch of Endor, despite the fact that God has said that the dead know nothing, and it's found in the book of Ecclesiastes. Despite the fact that God had repeatedly said, because Moses had already existed at this time, so the writings were there, that in Deuteronomy 18, Leviticus chapter 19 and chapter 20, God explicitly says, do not go to anybody who conjures up familiar spirits. But despite all this, he goes to the witch of Endor, and he seeks to speak to Samuel. And of course, Lucifer is more than happy to give him what he wanted to see. And so supposedly, the demonic being appears as Samuel. Now, obviously, King Saul had known the prophet Samuel. So this demonic spirit spoke in perfect tone and perfect pitch. And every way, from all appearances to King Saul, this was Samuel. And he was deceived. He was hoaxed. He was tricked into believing it was Samuel. And of course, something very interesting happened when he talked to this demonic spirit in the form of Samuel. Demonic spirit told King Saul that if when you go in this battle, you and your son are going to die. And what's unbelievable is when he went into the battle, he and his son died. So there's something to be said here. We know this is a demonic spirit because the dead know nothing. But yet this demonic spirit foretold something that was going to happen, and it did. I want to share something with you. Let me see if I have it. Yeah. We're told this in the spirit of prophecy. It's found in Great Controversy, page 548 and 553. Now pay attention to what she says. She says, and she's referring to those who conjure up familiar spirits, okay? A familiar spirit is somebody that you know, okay? King Saul knew Samuel. He was familiar. So that's what a familiar spirit is, like going to a seance and your mother appears or your dead grandmother appears. The spirit prophecy tells us the fact that they state some truths and are able at times to foretell future events. Don't ever forget that. We have a Bible example where demonic spirits can foretell a future event. We're told in the spirit of prophecy they can foretell future events. And as because of this, it gives their statements an appearance of reliability, and their false teachings are accepted by the multitudes as readily and believed implicitly as if they were the most sacred truths of the Bible. It just added to the deception, do you understand? It added to the hoax. And because of it, I mean, millions have been deceived because of these seances and going to different people who pretend to predict future events. We told a story not too long ago in a sermon I did, Don't Open the Door, where Vicky, they asked the board, you know, who am I visiting or who am I dating? And the board said it exactly. I told you an absolutely true story of my friend whose sisters were playing with the Ouija board, and one of the sisters asked when she should die. And it was, and the Ouija board came back and said that you're going to die on your 23rd birthday. And she did. You know it's demonic. So there's plenty of evidence out there that demons can, at times, as the spirit of prophecy, foretell future events. And of course, as we said, Lucifer, as you already know, has conjured up many evil spirits or people impersonating the dead, and I'm sure many of you have stories and may have seen that yourself. The thing is that we need to understand that the Bible says in Revelation 12, verse 9, and that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which what? Deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So, I believe these deceptions, the deception that happened in the Garden of Eden, was one of the biggest deceptions that ever has happened on this planet, beyond any question, because of the damage that it did to bring to the world and where we're at. We need to understand that what we're dealing with here in this world is spiritual beings. They're not humans like us. In fact, the Bible tells us in King James Version, Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Again, through these deceptions, these hoaxes, I believe, again, what happened in the Garden, it was one of the greatest hoaxes to ever happen on mankind. Would you agree with that? That one deception caused all this misery, right, what we see. But I got something to tell you today, and something we're going to go into, and it's quite shocking, I will admit. I believe right now, right today, what's happening in this world today is the second biggest deception that has ever happened on mankind since what happened in the Garden of Eden. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the alien UFO deception. It's in all the news. It's in all the articles. It's all over the internet. It's all over YouTube. It's everywhere. And I'm telling you what, this is the biggest deception by demons and Lucifer that has ever happened on this planet since what happened in the Garden of Eden. So I have a warning for you today. I'm going to be talking about UFOs and aliens. And if you have children, you don't want them to hear this, I'm giving you a warning. If you want to leave, I don't blame you. It's up to you. But I believe your children are going to hear about it anyway. But if you do, I'm giving you the opportunity. And if you want to leave, that's okay. I won't be offended. So with that said, I'm going to go on from there. So that's right. I said it. UFOs and aliens. And we need to talk about it because it's everywhere. You have to talk about it. You have to at least look at it. It's on the news. It's on documentaries. It's on programs. It's in the movie theaters. It's everywhere right now. I want to share with you a clip here.
This was on the news. I want you to hear this.
In the halls of Congress, Navy pilots are speaking out.
This object remained for about 45 seconds or so before darting off over the mountains. We were seeing objects with our radars, with our cameras, and even with our eyes flying on an almost daily basis.
We're very sensitive to how things turn and how things accelerate and how things move. And this didn't follow any of those laws of physics.
As of 2023, military and commercial pilots have reported seeing 801 objects they couldn't identify.
When we're talking about having an unidentified thing in our airspace, whether it's directly overhead or in our coastal waters, we need to figure out, is this an issue of flight safety? Is this an issue of national security? Is this an adversary spying on us? I was an eyewitness to what is considered one of the most important UFO or UAP encounters, and that's the USS Nimitz Tic Tac encounter. We call it affectionately a Tic Tac because it looks like the little breath mint. It was sort of a white creamish color. We didn't see a cockpit, we didn't see windows, and it moved in ways that we didn't understand. I don't know what we saw, and I refuse to speculate because I think it would be irresponsible of me to say, you know, well, it was definitely an adversary spying on us, or it was definitely an alien visiting from outer space, because I don't know.
One way or another, the more data we're able to bring into this conversation, the more we're going to be able to get to the truth.
Ryan Graves is trying to collect data from his fellow pilots, military and commercial. But there's a problem. They're hesitant to share their experiences because of the taboo surrounding UFOs.
Now keep in mind, this is being played on TV.
I want to share with you another clip here. Again, this is on TV. This is the news, okay?
Now to this, the Pentagon releasing a third batch of declassified UAP files, adding to a growing archive of documents, videos, and witness accounts involving unexplained sightings. For more, we're going to bring in Ryan Graves, one of the best people to talk about this, former Navy F-18 pilot and UAP whistleblower. Ryan, I want to start with this. This is one of the newest videos that's released. We're showing our viewers by the War Department. It was shot with an iPhone 14 Pro Max last July, 9 o'clock at night, somewhere in the northeastern United States. Witnesses saw two identical red spheres. The center of both looked like white plasma suns the size of a basketball. The FBI says the people who called this in are credible. What do you think we're looking at here?
Yeah, hey, Peter, thanks for having me on. Good morning. Well, you know, this is a case that actually came to Americans for Safe Aerospace, my nonprofit, first. We assessed the information. In fact, I was local to this particular witness and actually visited them in person. And eventually, with the witness's permission, we did refer to a working group within the FBI who was able to look in to see if there's any national security or aviation safety issues with this particular case. And there are facilities such as a Space Force facility that is in the vicinity. So, you know, just because this is a civilian in their backyard perhaps seeing something doesn't mean it doesn't have wider implications. And though perhaps to directly answer your question, what is it? Well, we don't know still. These objects were at low altitudes. They were operating independently. There's no way to correlate it with known air traffic or any type of balloon operations. And we're left really with questions about what it is. But what's fascinating is seeing this rapport is we can see that the FBI and other groups have been taking the time to investigate these. It's not just Ryan or Safe Aerospace telling you this has been a problem now. It's the government telling you that we are identifying a problem here.
And that's just it. The government is telling you these things are being released from the Pentagon. These are not just anybody. These are military pilots. These are airline pilots. These are high people in high positions. Even President Trump has been briefed on these, and he says they're real. And because he believes it is so much, he decided to start releasing them to the American public. And now these images and these videos are being released weekly. And if there's UFOs flying around that nobody can deny, there has to be somebody flying it or something, would you agree? There's photos out there, many, many photos. This is a photo of an alien aircraft from the cockpit of a jet fighter that was leaked from the Pentagon. But now they're not leaking them. Now they're just flat out showing you them. There's astronauts on Gemini 7. These astronauts claim that they've seen some UFOs. There's also Buzz Aldrin, who, as you know, is the one that landed on the moon. He also said that he saw UFOs. Jimmy Carter, a former president of ours, said he didn't believe in UFOs, but then he said this: I don't laugh at people anymore when they say they've seen UFOs. I've seen one myself, and maybe some of you have even seen them. There are people who have stood up before Congress. They're telling an oath under penalty of perjury. And when you perjury one thing in the court, it's one thing, but if you perjure the Congress, that's really serious, and you're going to spend a lot of times in prison. But yet you have military people, pilots, men who have seen them, people who have worked from the inside, all testifying under oath that these things are true, even to the point that they say that we even have UFO in our possessions, or UFOs, and we even have biologics, meaning deceased aliens. In fact, this is supposedly one, whether it is or not, I don't know. But this is supposedly a leaked photo of an alien that was autopsied. But either way, they look similar like this. And they even have some aliens that look like us. They call them Nordics. There was another man named Bob Lazar. Boy, there's a documentary out on him. I don't know if I would ever recommend you watch it or not. Maybe you should, maybe you shouldn't. But I promise you this, if you watch it, you're not going to sleep good tonight. I promise you that much. But nonetheless, Bob Lazar was taken in, hired by the government, to an alien aircraft that they had, and they were trying to reverse engineer it, trying to figure out how it flies. And so Bob Lazar has, what the things that he describes is just unbelievable. The government even thought trying to kill him. This happened many years ago. And so he blabbed it to everybody. So he thought, well, if you kill me, everybody's going to know what I said is the truth. So he kind of put him in a checkmate situation. This other man was a UFO researcher, and out in the area where Bob Lazar was at, took this aerial photo. Bob Lazar says he believes that photo is accurate. Just thought I'd share with that. You can see a UFO there in the ground there. There's even a movie that was released this year. Have you heard about it? Called Disclosure Day. How many have heard of it? No? I see a number of people. You can see on the image, that would be the poster view of Disclosure Day. You can see the eye, and you can see it's in the shape of a UFO. And it's called Disclosure Day. It's all about the disclosing of UFOs and aliens to the American public. Now, I find this very interesting because the very same quarter of this year, the government decided to release information about UFOs, and the same year, the same quarter of the year, just happenstance, Steven Spielberg came out with a movie called Disclosure Day. You think that was a coincidence? Probably not. I also find this also interesting. This is the Bob Lazar documentary came out too, all the same quarter of this year. Which, and believe me, for a long time, they weren't in favor of Bob Lazar. And believe me, they had nothing, the government or anything, had to do with Bob Lazar. A separate filmmaker made his story. So, listen, there's a lot I can say about Disclosure Day. I went to see it. I wanted to know what the message was that they were telling people. That's why I went to see it. And I find it interesting that after watching the movie, I realized that because of aliens and stuff in this movie, people are going to walk away from Christianity. They're not going to be able, they can't deny the fact of UFOs and aliens. And once they realize that these things are a fact, they're going to walk, and what was one of the reasons they didn't want to disclose it to the population of the world, because they were afraid what that would do to the religions of the world. There were things in the movie where people who had contact with an alien were able to have the gift of speaking tongues. There was in the movie, one person had the ability that they could just look at somebody, knew their deepest thoughts. There was a nun in the movie who was a child, but she had contact with an alien, and now she was the one that had the ability to look at people's, let's look at them and know secret things about them that nobody could ever know. And yet she was holding a cross, and nothing about her cross could stop what was happening. Interesting what's happening in these movies. Listen, this is something that we have to admit as Christians. You can't say that UFOs don't exist, because the video evidence and photos and videos are out there. There are military pilots, high intelligent people standing before Congress telling you that they're true. You can't deny it. And not just our country, all over the globe it's happening. Former presidents, astronauts, many people. So I decided that I wanted to do an investigation of this thing, okay? I wanted to look in and see if I can find what's really behind all this. And so I decided what I'm going to do is I want to go and listen to some of these people who've been investigating these things for years, okay, many, many years. I have never been a UFO person. I've never been a Trekkie, if you know what I mean. That's not me, okay? These things are just something I just blew off, okay? I'm all about the Bible. That's what I'm about. But I decided to look into this. And as a result of that, I looked at some books. One of them, Vera gave me a book. It was called Piercing the Cosmic Veil. Very good book, written by Joseph Jordan. You can see there an alien holding an apple, so that tells you very much where Joseph Jordan feels about these aliens. I also bought a book called Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men. And there's a lot of good information in that book, too, on the right side of things, okay? And, of course, the book's Trip into Supernatural, which we'll talk about. There are videos out there, the Alien Intrusion, Beware of Angels, of course, Trip into Supernatural, and Area S4. These are all out there that you could watch and get some information. There's plenty of podcasts out there. You might be familiar with Brad Burnham. He's the Seventh Day Adventist. And he has a podcast out there called Strange Normal. And he's actually been trying to wake up the Christian community now for a long time about these aliens and UFOs. There's also a guy named Chris Ramsey. He has a podcast called Debriefed. He actually talks to Joseph Jordan. So does Strange Normal Brad. He actually talks to Bob Lazar. There's some good information in there if you want to see it. But again, I want to make clear one thing, okay? I do not believe that these aliens are coming from far distant galaxies. I do not believe that there are these intelligent beings that are coming down here and who claim to be our creators and all. I want you to know I don't believe that for a minute. What I believe is that these aliens are demons beyond any question, and I'm going to give you evidence of that today so you know, okay? But I want you to know, I want you to be aware that what's happening in this world, I'm going to repeat it, is the second biggest hoax that's ever happened on mankind since what's happened in the Garden of Eden. Now, just like you think about just angels, period, good angels, man, they're vastly more intelligent than we are. Vastly. Do you know scientists know that we actually only use 10% of our brain? 10%. You ever heard of savants? How many of you ever heard of a savant? Okay, so those who did raise your hand, a savant is a person who was born with the ability to have access to other parts of the brain. And you can go on YouTube, just type in savants, and you can see all, a bunch of them. And it's amazing what they can do. One savant's called the brain man, and he's able to read a book. And he, with one eyeball, he can read this page, one eyeball, he can read this page, and he can go through his book just like that. And here's the thing, he remembers everything he's ever read. One time he read a postal zip code book, all the zip codes of the United States. And you could walk up them today and say, what's the zip code in North Ridgeville, Ohio? And they'll say 44039. There's another savant who's born blind. He can't tie his shoe, but yet he can sit down at a piano and play any piano piece that he hears instantly, one time. Never took piano lessons. There's another savant, he has the ability to do math equations to just boggles your mind. You can throw any math equation at you without a piece of paper. Give him a moment and he'll spit the answer out. My point is, we only use 10% of our brain. Imagine what we would be like if we used all of our brain. I believe in heaven we will get access to all our brain. But the point is, angels have access to all their brain. And because of that, they can do things that's just beyond our imagination. They can transform themselves into your dead loved one. They can transform themselves into animals. They can possess people. They can go through walls. They can project themselves as orbs. There's examples in the Bible where angels actually took on flesh. I know you're familiar with them. I'm just going to cover them briefly. In the time of Abraham in Genesis 18, three men showed up, one being the Lord, and they all came in the flesh. And when Abraham saw them, he just saw three strangers show up. And so he had the fatted calf killed, and he washed their feet, and they all sat down and ate together. Yet the angels and everything came in the flesh. Another time you're familiar, in the time of Lot, where Lot was in the city of Sodom. And two strangers showed up late in the evening, and Lot goes, "Whoa, you can't be out here on the streets. This is a very wicked place. Come into my house. You need to stay with me tonight. Trust me, just stay with me." And of course, when the people of the city of Lot heard that, they sought to have their way with them. And of course, then they came out, the angels came out, and they blinded their eyes. Remember that? And revealed that there were angels. So what's my point? My point is that angels can become bright and shining beings, like at the resurrection of Jesus. They could be angels out in the field, bright and shiny when the birth of Jesus was announced. But here's also truth. Evil angels can also transform themselves into anything, maybe even into aliens. What do you think? Yeah. The Bible tells us that we are in the scriptures. It says this: "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have entertained unwittingly," means unknowingly to yourself, "have entertained angels." And I'm sure, again, many people might have, or some people might have, angel stories. The Bible even tells us that, and it says, "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." So angels have the ability to transform themselves. Now, in my investigation, I learned many things about these UFOs that are actually facts, scientific facts. I'm not going to go into all of them, but one thing is they can fly faster than the speed of sound. That means how fast sound travels from me to you. And they know that the sound travels 767 miles per hour. And yet these things can fly 5,000 to 12,000 miles per hour. It's not just a guess. They've been recorded by sensitive military instruments to know this to be a fact. Now, when you go beyond that 796 miles per hour, you hear a big boom. It's called breaking the sound barrier. You know, when the comet flew over Ohio this year, you heard a big boom. It shook some windows. People come running outside their homes. What was that? This comet broke the sound barrier. I was in the military, and I worked around jets, and I've seen the sound barrier broke many, many times. But just think about it. But yet these alien ships can travel 5,000 to 12,000 miles per hour, and there's no sound barrier heard. That means these things somehow have the ability to do things outside the natural laws that we're subject to. These spacecraft can just go like this, unbelievably speeds. It's just crazy. I mean, it boggles the mind. There's a thing called G-force. You know what G-force is? If you ever rode a roller coaster, you know what G-force is. It's about 6 G's you feel in a roller coaster, and you can feel your skin get pressed, move back on your body. Airline pilots, when they fly at the speed of sound or even faster. In fact, pilots can fly Mach 2, which is twice the speed of sound. They have to wear pressurized suits because if they don't, all the blood will run out of their head to their feet and they'll pass out and the plane will crash. So they have to wear a special G suit. There's a lot I can say about this. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the UFOs, but here's what's interesting also. They can fly 5,000 miles an hour in the air and go right into the water without even slowing down and still continue to fly 5,000 miles per hour without any hesitation. That's impossible by all the natural laws that we have today. So again, this is my final conclusion. I want to share this with you because I first want to share you what Joseph Jordan believes. Joseph Jordan believes they're all aliens, and we're going to get into why they are aliens. So I'm going to give you proof of that. But he believes even these spacecraft are nothing more than manifestations. Okay? There's another guy in Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men by Hugh Ross, I believe his name. He's an astrophysicist, brilliant man. He says he believes that what's going on is interdimensional. In other words, these aren't beings that are coming from outer space. They already exist here. And because they're fallen angels, they have the ability to do things that we can't. And it's true, they can. And they can defy natural law. But from everything, from what I've looked at, when you look at everything and you list to everything, there's one thing I believe, that these spacecraft are not some just manifestation. You can touch them. They're real. They're trying to reverse. They have them. Multiple people from the government, inside the government, multiple people have said, yeah, we do. And other countries have them too, like Russia. And you can't deny that if you have a UFO, something's flying it. You can't deny it. So I want to give you evidence. I want to give you evidence today that what they are is demonic. Because this is something that we need to know. Now, you're all familiar with Roger Morneau. Maybe you're not. Just in case you're not, I'll just give you a brief synopsis. He wrote the book, Tripping the Supernatural. If you've never read the book, you should. He became a devout Seventh-day Adventist, by the way. But before he became a Seventh-day Adventist, he was invited to a seance. And in that seance, a being came back, which was one of the relatives of the people there. And he was so blown away by what he saw that he was hooked. And he said, this wasn't some little occultish little thing. In Montreal, it happened in this most amazing, beautiful mansion, and the highest influential people were there. And as he got in more deeper into this, he realized that these people were actually worshiping demons. The fallen angels would manifest themselves before him. They actually had paintings of their life-size paintings of these demons, who they would manifest repeatedly to them. Lucifer would manifest themselves to them. And during this, one of the meetings here, Roger Morneau sitting there discussing with Lucifer, who they call the master, Lucifer told of a grand plan that would happen in the last days right before Jesus would come. And I want to repeat what he says. I want you to hear what he says. And then I'm going to play it for you. I want you to hear him say it himself. This is Lucifer. Evils, he says, he says that in this grand plan, it would be done in a very unique manner. He said that people are going to eat this stuff up as what's happening today with the UFOs. Evil spirits, that's demons, will declare themselves to be inhabitants of far distant galaxies and are coming to warn the world, the inhabitants of the earth, of the impending destruction of this planet unless something is done. Now, what's interesting then, when you go back and you investigate these investigators who've investigated hundreds of people, this is a repeated theme told by these aliens. Now, you have to admit, that's pretty fascinating. But again, I want you to hear this. And I'm going to start it right now. Get it?
This is the grand plan, the master's grand plan, for harvesting the nations, for harvesting the multitudes of the earth into his cause, just before the close of the great controversy between the forces of good and evil. So we continued, and after we expressed ourselves, we'll be very interested to know more about the activities of spirits. And he said, it's going to be done in a unique manner. This grand plan is going to take people are going to eat the stuff. Because it says spirits, demon spirits, will declare themselves to be inhabitants of far distant planets and the galaxies that are coming to warn the inhabitants of planet Earth of the impending destruction of the planet unless something seriously proper is done to avoid it. And he went on.
All right, so that's proof number one, okay? Roger Morneau, we were told this would happen. And it's exactly what they're saying. Not just one time, two times, just all over the globe, this is a common theme of what the aliens tell the people. Another thing that he, when in his investigation, when investigating, talking to people who've been abducted or in the presence of aliens, sometimes they see their dead loved ones. Well, I hate to say this, and I don't, no pun intended, but that's a dead giveaway that these are aliens. Because the Bible is clear, the dead know nothing. Amen? That's proof number two. Even Eve was told this lie in the Garden of Eden. Eve told the serpent that I can have any fruit in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I can't eat of, nor can I touch, lest I die. And what did Lucifer say? You shall not surely die. So these fallen demon angels impersonated aliens are perpetuating the same lie. And here's what else is interesting. Again, in the investigating of those who investigate, many of these beings actually deny the deity of Jesus Christ. And they claim to be your creator. And they even promote that we came from apes and through evolution. And they've come in here and monkeyed with our DNA to make us who we are. They claim to be our creator. In the spirit of prophecy, and Great Conference 552, we're told this about the evil spirits. The spirits deny the deity of Christ and place even the Creator on a level with themselves. And it's exactly what they're doing. Again, proof number three that they're demons. They're doing exactly what we've been told in the spirit of prophecy that they would be saying. And it's exactly what's happening. And if all what I just shared with you wasn't enough, I find this really interesting, that many of these people that were involved with demons or fallen angels, I'm sorry, when they call out the name of Jesus because they're so freaked out, guess what happens? Boom. They're gone. They leave. And not only that, did they leave, they never see the aliens ever again. Now, that's pretty telling that what you're seeing is demonic. Amen? You see, the alien UFO is nothing but a deception. It's a hoax. It's to trick us into believing that what we're seeing is true when in reality it's a lie. We're told in the spirit of prophecy, or I'm sorry, we're told this in the Bible, 1 Timothy 4:1. But the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly that in the latter times, that means the last days, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, the teachings of demons. That's exactly what's happening. They're teaching you that we're your creators. They're teaching you that we come from far distant galaxies and every thing you see we created. Well, my question to them, well, who created you? You might wonder, well, what does the spirit of prophecy have anything to say in this? She does. And we're going to read that quote to you right now. This was found in Great Controversy, page 624. We're told in the spirit of prophecy that fearful sights of supernatural character will soon be revealed in the heavens. That means they weren't happening in her day, but they're happening in ours. In the token of the power of miracle-working demons, the spirits of the devil will go forth to the kings of the earth and to the whole world to fasten them into deception and urge them to unite with Satan in his last struggle against the government of heaven. By these agents and subjects will all like be deceived. What's interesting that it's been reported by many people, not just one, some crazy nutcase. It's been reported by many people that these demons in the form of aliens or whatnot have been appearing before the kings of the earth. It's nothing new. They've been doing it. Now we're getting close to the end, okay? But I want to paint a picture to you. Can you just imagine this deception and you buy it? You believe it. These aliens did come from far distant galaxies. And these aliens are demons. Can you imagine what that would do to your Christianity? Can you imagine the many of them who buy this? They're walking away from their belief. They're walking away from their faith. Can you imagine the disappointment? Can you just imagine everything that I learned about Jesus is not true? Can you just imagine the disappointment by the millions? But because the delusion is so good, it's so perfect in deceiving people that they can't ignore what's before their eyes and what they hear. And then what happens is the mother of all deceptions. The mother of all deceptions happens next. All of a sudden, Jesus appears on the earth. And Ellen White has a name for it. She calls it the crowning act of Lucifer. It's the last deception that happens. And I want to read what the spirit of prophecy says, for the Bible tells us that Satan will transform himself into an angel of light. The Bible tells us that in this deception, Lucifer will transform forth to look like Jesus, and he will look just like Jesus as described in the book of Revelation. And I'll give you that quote here in just a minute. So I want to read this to you. This end as in a Great Controversy, page 624. And I read, and I want you to see it. The crowning act, the last deception, okay? The crowning act in the great drama of deception. Satan himself will personate Christ. The church has long professed to look for the Savior's advent as the consummation of her hopes. Now the great deceiver will make it appear that Christ has come. In different parts of the earth, Satan will manifest himself among men as a majestic, dazzling brightness, resembling the description of the Son of God given by John in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, 13 through 15. The glory that surrounds him is unsurpassed by anything that mortal eyes have yet beheld. They have never seen anything like this. The shout of triumph rings out in the air. Christ has come. Christ has come. Can you just imagine going to belief in aliens and UFOs and all of a sudden now Christ comes? The shout of triumph rings out in the air. Christ comes. Christ comes. The people prostrate themselves before him in adoration before him while he lifts his hand and pronounces a blessing upon them as Christ blessed his disciples when he was upon the earth. His voice is soft and subdued yet full of melody. In gentle, compassionate tones, he presents some of the same gracious heavenly truths which the Savior uttered. He heals the diseases of the people, deception. And then in his assumed character of Christ, he claims to have changed the Sabbath from Saturday, the seventh day, to Sunday. And he commands all to hallow the day which he blessed. He declares that those who persist in keeping the holy seventh day are blaspheming his name and refusing to listen to his angels sent to them with light and truth. She tells us that this is the strong, almost overmastering delusion, like the Samaritans who were deceived by Simon Magnus. The multitudes, from the least to the greatest, give heed to these sorcerers, saying, "This is the great power of God." So this deception, this alien UFO deception, is going to play a huge part in people accepting Lucifer impersonating Christ. Brothers and sisters, we must understand this, that these deceptions are so good. They're so good that by everything, all your senses of your body, you will believe what you're seeing is true. It happened to Eve. It happened to King Saul. It happens to many people when dead loved ones appear in them in their bedroom. This alien deception is no less deceiving. By everything you're going to hear and see, I don't care if they drag an alien in front of 5 o'clock news, it's a deception. So how are we going to know if what we're seeing is demonic? Well, I've been going and sharing things with you all along, how we can know. We will know by the fact what Lucifer said, that he changed the Sabbath from the seventh day to the first day. It's only by what they say that you will know that you're listening to the demonic. Oh, where am I here? Okay, so let's go over some of the things that we've learned already. These demons, these fallen angels, deny the deity of Christ, and they claim to be your creator. That's two things totally contrary to Scripture. They personate your dead loved ones, which we know that is this perpetuating spiritualism. They flee in the name of Christ, not to mention what Lucifer told Roger Marneau that's happening right now, before your eyes, in this world right now. What's interesting that even when Jesus was in the wilderness of temptation, Lucifer came to him as an angel of heaven. You remember that? And there was only one way. Now keep in mind, when Jesus was in the wilderness, his divinity was hidden from him. He was being tempted in fallen humanity as an example for us, okay? And to give us the victory. There was only one way that he knew when this being spoke, this angel who looked like it was an angel from, is when this angel said, if thou be the Son of God. You don't think the angels know who Jesus is? You don't think they know that's their master and leader there on earth? When Lucifer said that, Jesus commanded him to leave and he had to leave. Amen? So that's something that we need to remember. We're not going to, if you think your eyes and all your senses, you're going to figure, forget it. These beings are far, vastly more intelligent than you. I believe that we do have alien aircraft. And I've heard about what's inside. You can learn about it from Bob Lazar, who was inside trying to figure. It's not like anything you ever can even imagine, okay? And I don't want to go into it here, but we could never conjure up what's going on in this alien aircraft. But you see, this alien aircraft is part of the deception. It's part of the deception for you to believe these really are aliens that are coming from another distant galaxy. Can you imagine if Eve understood that you can't go by your senses? You can't trust your eyes. You can't trust your ears. You can't trust your smell. You can't trust what you see and touch. Forget it. The only way you're going to know that you're talking to a demon is by what they say. And like Lucifer told Eve, you know, you shall not surely die. But yet at the same time, they can tell you the truth. Eve, if you partake of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Did he tell her a truth? Yeah. When she partook of it, now she knows what evil was. She didn't before. So there was a partial truth there. But yet he lies. And he used that deception to further the other deception. You shall not surely die, and she believed it. So she partook of it. She didn't believe God, and yet she believed the demon. So listen, if she understood what we understand now, she never would have given into this. She would have known it was Lucifer. I don't care if an alien craft lands in my front yard. I don't care if they bring an alien on the 5 o'clock news speaking at Washington, D.C. I don't care if they parade an alien down the street. I know it's demonic by everything that we know already. They're demonic, and I'm going to stay away from it. We're told in 1 Timothy again, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, the last days, some shall depart from the faith, turn away from Christianity, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. It's happening, not in the future. It's happening right now. I just hope it don't happen to you. The Bible tells us, and this is my closing slide. I'm sorry to go so long, but it's an important subject. Paul says this in Galatians 1:8. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be under God's curse, right? To the law and to the testimony, if it speaks not according to this word, there is no light in it. I pray that you never be deceived by this. Please don't trust your senses. Stick to the word of God and we'll be safe. May God be with us all. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for revealing the truths for us, for giving us the scriptures, for giving us the spirit of prophecy, for revealing things to Roger Monroe and sharing it through all of Christendom, for all of Christianity and to Christendom. We thank you for sharing these truths. We will not be deceived. We will stay close to your God's word. That's the only thing we're interested in. We're not interested in anything else. We know that we can be deceived by our eyes, our ears, all our senses. But we've learned a lesson what happened with Eve. We learned a lesson what happened with Saul. And we will not be deceived by these aliens and UFOs. And we know it's just, and we will not be deceived by Lucifer impersonating Christ. For we know he doesn't come from the heavens, and the dead are not resurrected when he comes, and the wicked are not destroyed when he comes. We know that we would trust your word, for you and you is the truth, and you are the light and the way. We love you so much to be a part of your remnant people, a people in these last days. I pray that we get this message out before you do come, because there's many people you want to garner into your kingdom. And we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Keep us from the evil one. And we ask this again in Jesus' name. Amen.